everybody. Welcome to this week's recording of What's Brewing. I am your host, Chris Nozick, joined by my co-host, as always, Mr. Dominic Tiano, who apparently is now calling me Bubbles. Not Bubbles. Sure where that came from, but
I don't know.
You know what? Could be worse. It could be worse.
It could be.
So, and like I said, that's how I get when I get that excited when the Bruins game is coming on. So, but Dom, how are you this week? How are things going for you outside of Bruins land? And then we'll get into Bruins land.
Doing great. The weather's been nice, but now they're calling for snow tonight. So,
yeah. You know. How much are you supposed to get? We're supposed to get about a foot-ish.
Oh, no, we're not supposed to get that. Luckily, it'll be up to a centimeter, which is less than half an inch.
Oh, yeah. No, we're supposed to get slammed tonight into tomorrow.
So, yeah.
But on a good note, Bruins won last night. Good game against Nashville. What'd you think?
Actually, a couple of good games where we're seeing a little bit of playoff hockey or playoff-like hockey. I think the Washington game had a bit of that, but more so the Nashville game. You know, I just want to say that to a lot of people who think that Linus Ullmark stole the game for the Bruins last night, had Nashville won, you could say the same about Juuse Saros for Nashville. The goalies were that good.
I was going to say, last night was a solid goaltending duel. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Linus Ullmark has been outstanding pretty much since the trade deadline.
Since the All-Star break, he's got a 2.10 goals against average and 921 save percentage. Flip that to Swayman, who's a 3.05 goals against average and 0.899 save percentage. Yeah. So it's almost a goal a game difference.
Right. And I'm pretty sure, especially with Ullmark too, if you go to the if you go back to the trade deadline, it's even better.
Yeah. Like, but I'm still not riding Ullmark if it's up to me. Because if something were to happen to Ullmark, you want Swayman out of this funk ASAP.
I'm just going to keep going with the rotation. Honestly, yep. If it was me, I would rotate him. I would give Ullmark. I would try to line it up so Ullmark gets game one just because he's been that amazing, that outstanding, that good. But I honestly don't even really think it matters until you drop a game in the playoffs. And even with Swayman and net, they're not playing like garbage. It's just, and they're not unwinnable games. His level is just not quite as high as Ullmark's.
Yeah.
That's all. So it's a difference. Not, I mean, one's better than the other, but not enough where I would sit there and say, oh my God, they're going to lose this series because Swayman's in net, not Ullmark.
Yeah, definitely. But you want Swayman out of this funk as soon as possible. So, but that was directed to the people that saying you got to ride Ullmark right now.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't ride him right now anyway. I'd want him fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, you'd want to put, I'm actually trying to pull up their schedule right now. Cause I'm not sure if the way that it's set up right now, would Ullmark get the first game or not?
Well, they got six left, right?
Right. So,
Swayman, Ullmark for the last game.
So you're going to have to do one of them back, like two games in a row, whether it's during the regular season or you end with Ullmark and start with Ullmark.
What I would do is if once everything's locked in and know you were where you're going, I give Brandon Bussey the start.
Well, that's what I mean. You either are going to have to do back to back, which I agree. I would like to see Bussey get a game. I mean, I'm not overly concerned as far as seeding from a Bruins perspective. From my bet, I want them to win the division, but I'm still riding that one. And Florida's helping me. So,
yeah. Can you believe Montreal beat them?
I was not expecting that.
No, neither was I. And people are saying Florida's tanking because they don't want to meet Tampa. Let me tell you, these are professional hockey players, and they are about as competitive athletes as you will ever find. And as a player, that competitive spirit says, we want a shot at Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to go through them.
Yeah.
If anything. But also, if they... I don't know. I just, the way they've been, it fits their pattern. Ever since they added Tarasenko, and I'm not blaming him, I said at the trade deadline, I wasn't quite sure how that would fit entirely. And it's just been lineup in general. They've taken a little bit of a step back when it comes to consistency. So like the Bruins, you know, if you lose two games, you win two games, you lose one, then you win two, and then you lose one, and then you lose two. And like when it's inconsistent, that's what they're doing. That's what they're getting. That's what we're seeing. We saw it with the Bruins, and they're just doing it at the end of the season. I'm happy about it because now we have the 4-point cushion on my bet. I will take that. But Florida is just trying to make sure they're in. They don't care whether it's first or second at this point because they just want to be playing good hockey, which is what we talked about for Boston last week on the show. You want to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs. And games like yesterday against Nashville was one of the better ones that we've seen lately overall, and the goaltending was absolutely on point.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? We can't count the Leafs out. Yeah, they're 8 points back, but with two games in hand. One of them's tonight against Florida. That's really a 4-point cushion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too, is with Toronto, if they end up winning this game, like you said, now they're at 97 points. They're only 2 points behind Florida.
Right.
So it tonight's game is actually going to be very fun to watch between those two.
Yes.
And, I mean, right now down the stretch, there are no bad games to really watch. I mean, there are less fun ones, of course, with less on the line. But, I mean, right now, a team to watch. There's a reason to watch every team, even if they've clinched or not. I'll put it that way.
I wish there was a final game between Columbus and San Jose so I could tune into that one.
The suck bowl, I mean, the tank bowl.
Yeah.
even like one of the best races to watch, Philly, Washington, and they end the season playing against each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, like mathematically, the only teams the Bruins possibly can't mathematically face is Columbus because they've been eliminated. The Rangers in Carolina, because they've clinched either first or second place in the division, so they can't be knocked down. And they can't meet whoever finishes third in the Metro simply because that's what the rules are. But is it Philly? Is it Washington? One of them's going to get third, and it's possible the other one could be knocked right out of the playoffs.
Well, also, Detroit and the Islanders are hanging on by a thread.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, one of Philly or Washington could be knocked right out.
And obviously, a lot of people will have the question. And anybody who's tuning in, we want to get your questions in the comments section, please. Anything, whether it's Bruins related or any hockey question, really, we'll take a crack at. It's the matchup is going to be fun no matter what. I mean, which one do you want? I just want to make sure we're playing good hockey going in.
Yeah, I'd never have a preference. Last year, everybody was telling me, well, Florida got it as the eighth seed. And I'm like, be careful what you wish for, man.
I didn't want Florida last year. I'm on record as having said Florida was the number one team I did not want to face. That's what I said last year. Now, do I like certain matchups better than others? I mean, I look at all of them. I think the Bruins have a shot to win all of them, whether it's the Islanders, the Red Wings, the Capitals, the Flyers, even Tampa, they have a shot to win.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about some matchups against Tampa Bay. They're a team that plays very physical. Andre Vasilevsky is one of the best goaltenders ever in the playoffs. So, that concerns me. But have you looked at Linus Ullmark lately? You can hang neck and neck with Andre Vasilevsky in net.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the game is played. If you're going on paper, there's matchups you want, but the game is played on the ice and anything can happen on any given night. Look at last night, Montreal beating Florida when Florida needed the win for seeding.
Yeah, and Montreal wasn't playing for very much. Slightly better draft position, I guess, is the argument there. But
yeah, but Montreal's still alive, too. Stranger things have happened. Columbus is the only team out in the Eastern Conference.
How many games left? Montreal has 7-8 games left. So that'd be a total of 16 points. That would put them at 86. So that would actually jolt them above the Capitals for the second wild card. So, they're not mathematically eliminated. Holy crap.
Columbus is the only team mathematically eliminated from the East.
Out West, you've got what? All the way up to, I think, Anaheim?
Yeah, the West is a different story.
But I will ask you this. It's not a Bruins-related question, but it does affect the Bruins. We were talking about Philadelphia, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Fedotov? Ivan Fedotov.
I loved it. What was it, last night? They went to overtime?
Two nights ago.
Yeah. And he went to the wrong net.
Yes, I saw that.
The start of overtime.
I don't know if you watched much of that game. But I watched
bits and parts of it. But
I basically turned it on about 5 minutes into the second. So right shortly after he went into the net. He looks so happy and just thrilled to be playing in the National Hockey League. I almost worry about Philly if you get that matchup for anybody. Because as good as Ersson has been, if Fedotov is playing with very little pressure because he's just happy to be there. And kid's got talent. I say kid, he's 27. He's got talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know the whole situation in Russia and what happened. He had his contract told. He had typically he would be a UFA right now. But because Philly told his contract, they kept his rights for this year.
Yeah, so my understanding is because when he signed with CSKA Moscow, on that 2-year deal, because he had already signed his ELC with Philly, and Philly was protested it with the IIHF, and IIHF basically said, "You're absolutely right, this contract is null and void," and the Russian government said, "We don't care, he's not going." And so the NHL allowed them to toll his contract. So he's playing on that 1-year ELC this year.
Right.
And so because he's on that ELC, it's basically like he's been on the team the entire year, even though he hasn't been. And so they'll have him for 6 weeks, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. I have a feeling Danny Briere, though, is probably already working on an extension.
Well, I don't know about that. I haven't heard anything. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with it. The IIHF, any of the options they had to force him over is taken away from them because Russia is banned from all IIHF tournaments.
Right, exactly. So that complicated it, but it allowed them to just sit there and go, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's where they told him, here we go. Mike's got a question. He says, hey guys, thoughts on who might be our John Drews for the Bruins in the playoffs this year? I was thinking Brazo before he got injured.
John Drews. I'm going to say Danton Heinen.
I'm not sure I know the reference that he's making.
Oh, John Drews had one amazing year. He scored more goals in the playoffs than he did in the regular season.
Yeah, I can see.
I can't remember what year it was.
I like the Heinen pick. Oh boy, that's an interesting one. More goals in the playoffs than in the regular season is tough. I think that's where Heinen has the potential because he's going to be in the top six role. I was going to say a dark horse for Conn Smythe for the Bruins, should they go on to win it all, would be Jake DeBrusk.
Well, you know, I was going to bring him up a little later.
I mean, we can talk about him later. Now you
pick. No, because I'd like to stick with Mike's question here.
Trying to think.
I think for me, it's Danton Heinen would be the closest. That's not to say he's going to score 15 playoff goals, but if he sticks on that line with Pastrnak and Zacha, you know, if they go on that deep run,
yeah,
and even if they don't win it, let's say they get to the finals, 10 goals is not out of the question for me. But that, I mean, that's not. I think John Drews had 19 that year. I can't remember.
I got two names for you.
Okay, shoot.
The first one, I think you'll probably disagree with a little bit more because he's got more goals. 7 goals so far this season, John Beecher.
No, I'm still sticking with Heinen over him.
Okay. And then Adam Boqvist is the other one.
Well, Boqvist is another guy I want to talk about later because he's in the same boat as DeBrusk right now.
Okay.
Hopefully, Mike, that answers your question. That's my
pick. I like the Danton Heinen pick. I do.
Yeah. You know, to touch on DeBrusk and Boqvist, we'll do them together.
You want to do that now?
Yeah. Okay. Boqvist has gotten a little cold. He started out great. DeBrusk is cold again. The difference I'm seeing in the last couple of games between the two is Boqvist is still making things happen with his skating. Like there was a couple of instances in the third period last night that I recall where just his skating created opportunities for the Bruins. Mm-hmm. DeBrusk to me doesn't seem like, at least the last two games against Washington and Nashville, that he's not going all out with his skating.
Do you think he's conserving himself for the playoffs?
No. I think it's what it always is with Jake DeBrusk. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but he's feeling some discomfort in not having a contract.
I mean, it would make sense.
To me, that's what it always is with Jake. Stability.
Yeah. I mean, right now the stability is you've got these line mates, you're playing in the playoffs, go. But it just, like you said, it just seems like there's always something in the back of his head.
Yep.
No contract, no contract, no contract.
Yep.
So... let's see. What'd you think of JVR in yesterday's game?
Did he play?
Yesterday? I thought he did. Maybe he didn't.
That's my answer.
Oh, I was like, I thought he was on the ice.
No, he was on the ice. Like, wasn't very that noticeable.
Do you think he's still just recovering from his illness, or is he just kind of at a burnout stage where he's got to recharge a little?
That's hard to say without knowing what the illness was. If it was COVID, yeah, he's probably still recovering.
That would make sense.
You know, it depends on the illness. So, yeah, it's a possibility, but can't be sure without knowing what the illness was. You know what this team's like. They don't tell you anything.
No, they're not saying anything. Although I have heard that it seems like he's dropped a lot of weight very quickly and he's trying to get back into it. So COVID or some sort of massive flu bug, either way, it's going to knock you on your ass to lose a good noticeable amount of weight.
Yeah.
Like the reporters are noticing that he's doesn't have as much weight to his frame. So like it's noticeable. It's got to be something.
Yeah. So,
That's kind of my mindset is that. But Pat Maroon skating with the team now.
Yeah. Boy, he's excited, eh?
Oh, yeah. Where do you start him? Like obviously, we know going into the playoffs, Marchand, Coyle, DeBrusk is probably not getting changed around. Heinen, Zacha, Pastrnak, you'd be crazy to change it. So, really, it's the bottom six guys.
Well, he doesn't start anywhere above the fourth line.
Okay. So how do you start him? Who do you start him with? Like, we talked about a Maroon-Brazo line. That does not bode well for speed.
Do we know what Brazo's injury is yet?
I don't think so. I heard it was upper body, and based off of the hit, the angles that I saw, it seems like it could be like a shoulder or wrist, something like that. So at least he'd be able to keep skating. But I haven't had anything confirmed.
To me, Johnny Beecher and Beecher and Boqvist would have to be on the ice with him. Defensively responsible and have the speed to make up. I just can't see Brazil and Maroon at the same time. Now, is it matchup based? Yeah, it's going to have to be matchup based. Do you need Maroon against the Leafs?
Probably
not. Do you need him against Tampa? I would like to have him against Tampa because he knows that team. He knows the players.
Yeah. And he can be as physical with them. Like, Tampa's a little bit more of a physical team than the Leafs. I think that goes without saying. But the matchup-wise, I'd rather have Maroon in that physical matchup. Not that Brazo is not physical. He's got the big body, and he can use it. I just think his game is better when he's able to think more about the play versus about the physicality.
Yeah, to me, I would have Maroon in against the physical team, Brazil in against the skilled team.
Yeah, I agree. And I do like the fact that with Brazil too, like if something's not going right mid-game or early in a game, he gives you a little more flexibility to ride the elevator up the lineup a little bit and just kind of, you know, maybe shake the Jake DeBrusk tree a little bit you know, the Danton Heinen tree, something like that. You know, he gives you those options. Maroon, I'm really not trying to, unless he comes out and he looks like a brand new kid skating out there, I'm not trying to elevate him up really much past the third line, if at all, even to the third line. But he's had some good passes this season leading to opportunities and to goals when he was with Minnesota. So I wouldn't be against it, but he'd have to really be at a good level of his game, like out of the gate, for me to even think about it.
Yeah, I don't think the Bruins are even considering it. He's been told what his role is, and he's accepting that, and he's excited to get going. So,
oh yeah,
we'll see. Like, I wouldn't move him. I wouldn't take him off the fourth line and move him up at all.
I wouldn't be looking to. I'm just saying I could understand it. And like Mike says here, Maroon, Freddie, and Geeky would be a heavy line.
Yeah, it would, but who on that line's got the speed to make up for Maroon? They're not Boqvist and they're not Beecher.
Yeah. No, I like him with... See, I would do Maroon on the right with Beecher on the left and then Boqvist down the middle, you know, and then you just have Beecher take the face-offs like they've been.
Yeah.
I like that for that fourth line. Obviously, Freddie and Geeky have looked really good together, so that just stays together. The question becomes JVR or Lauko. Brazeau, like, how does all that work when everybody's healthy? Ideally, you get JVR going in these last 6-7 games, but like you said yesterday, was he even on the ice?
Yeah.
Do you see, so you mentioned calling up Bussy.
Mm-hmm.
The team would have three other call-ups because as far as I'm aware, they have, oh no, they moved Beecher over to an official call-up.
Yeah.
So he's one. They would have three more. Bussy would be the second.
Yeah.
Who would, unless you can fudge that one and do an emergency recall, but I don't see that happening. What, how would you use the other two? Would you use the other two?
Oh yeah, to get somebody in a couple of games and give somebody a breather, definitely.
So, who would you call up? I know a lot of people's instant reactions are going to be Lysell.
Lysell was in a sling.
I was going to say, Lysell is hurt. Like, so people who don't follow Providence need that update. He's hurt. I would just hope for him to recover at this point. I wouldn't push. I would hope that next year he pushes for an NHL job at camp. That's all.
Yeah, you want to give a centerman a break. It's Merkulov.
So you would call up Merkulov again?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Give him another reward for the season he's had in Providence.
Okay.
Zacha hasn't played every game, so he's not as worn down as Coyle is. So I would give Coyle a couple of games and Merkulov in there. And then I don't know who would be my last call-up. That's
an interesting one.
Yeah.
Like, If he wasn't hurt, I would think Fabian Lysell would be a good option.
Yeah, I think Richard would be the last one.
Richard. You wouldn't want to try and take a look at maybe like a Trevor Kuntar?
No.
Or John Farinacci?
No.
Just let him stay down there for now.
Yeah. It's not that I don't want to have a look at them. Like, I'm still trying to win hockey games.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Richard, let's say you want to give Marchand a break. Richard is a lot closer to Brad Marchand than Farinacci or who was the other guy you mentioned?
Kuntar.
Well, yeah.
Right. And I get that. And obviously, so your line of thinking is the guys that you're going to be benching and resting would be the Marchands, the Pasternak's, Coyle, as you said. I would also make the case with Anthony Richard, excuse me, that like you could try him on that third line left side, see how he does with Geeky and Frederick, and that might spark something that puts a fire under the ass of JVR and Lauko.
Isn't that who he played with when he got called up?
I would have to check, but that would also give you the opportunity. So let's say you pull Marchand out of the lineup. Are you just going to throw Anthony Richard with Coyle and Pasternak?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, I mean, the only other I was thinking you could also elevate a guy like JVR to play with some of those guys to try to get him going.
No. You want to bring guys in to replace guys that you don't want to be moving people around the roster. You want to continue having Frederick and Geeky build something, not take them apart. So if I'm resting Marchand I'm not moving James Van Riemsdyk up there for a game. I'm calling up a player to replace Brad Marchand. And the closest thing in Providence right now is Richard. If I'm giving Pasternak a break, I'm not moving Morgan Geeky up there for the same reasons I'm not taking him away from Frederick. That's where Fabian Lysell would have come in.
Right.
If I'm taking Coyle out, I'm not calling up Kuntar to give him a look in a rookie season.
I'm calling up Georgi Mrkulov,
right,
a talented center who
can
distribute the puck in a similar fashion. Right. Also has a good shot himself.
Right. So you want to replace you want to get as close to the style of a player that you're resting that you have in Providence.
Right. Which makes sense. And I mean that's a lot of the forward group.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think
They've got eight defensemen on the roster now, so they're not calling anybody up to.
No, I was going to say your game one defensive lineup.
Oh my God.
I think it's a lot of matchup base. I think we're on the same page there.
Well, we talked a bit about it last week. That's going to be matchup based. Like,
is there any matchup that this is for other people out there who are going to be shouting this at the biggest, highest hilltops? Is there any matchup out there where you have Mason Lorai in the starting six?
No.
Thank you. I wouldn't either. I want him to watch. Now, can he get into a game? If you're up 3-0 and you're going into game four and you're playing Washington, go ahead, throw him in the lineup. Like, rest somebody else on that left side. That's the advantage of having eight defensemen.
Yep.
If you lose the game, you got to get the kid some NHL playoff experience. That's when you do it. Not when you're going to game one, not when you're up one game or two, not when you're down a game or two. You have to really have a good hold on the series before you can say it's okay if you fuck it up.
Yeah, definitely. But I can't think of any scenario barring injuries or any opponent where he's in my starting six. I'm sorry.
Joseph is saying that they're not going to be able to call Richard up until playoffs because it would be his 10th game and it makes him waiver eligible.
Yeah, but once he's up, he stays up.
That's what I thought we were talking about.
He'll be there for.
It's not like he'll be put back down.
Yeah, he'll be there for the playoff run.
I mean,
anybody who wants to claim him on the 82nd game, go ahead and claim him. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with him?
They would put him on their playoff roster.
Yeah. Okay.
They wouldn't be able to send him down, right?
That's right.
So they would have to hang on to him at the NHL level, which means one of their guys who they've been basically prepping all season for that type of role. Like, Anthony Richard is the perfect black ace right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you see a long-term position for Anthony Richard in this organization? This is the final year of his contract. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Do you see him re-signing with the Bruins, like, with a long-term plan in mind?
No, not long-term. He might get a year at $790,000.
I was going to say,
contract.
Another year or two under $1 million, and then he'll sign somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that's what makes him a perfect black ace here. Fluto's point was Richard will be counted on in the playoffs. For what?
To be a black ace. That's it. He's not getting on the roster.
Yeah. Joseph, I'm going to try and find this piece. You said it was Fluto, so I should be able to find it here in The Athletic. he does a great job. I'm not trying to discredit Fudo Shinzawa or anything like that. I want to try and read this piece to see where you're coming from, what you're trying to say his point was, because Anthony Richard, even if you call him up for the playoffs, he's riding the bench. And Mike has a good question here. We referenced the Black Aces. Wonder how does the Black Aces work in the playoffs? Do teams have them ready for game one? Often hear Black Aces practicing during the playoffs. Do you want to explain kind of what we mean by that and how
most of the time, Mike, they're not up until Providence has been eliminated. The problem is now that Providence has so many bodies that they can call up a couple of guys and have them practice with the team and be the Black Aces right off the get-go. I think that's why we saw the signings of Rivero and Nelson and Bischel right off the top. It gives them bodies in Providence. They also have a couple of guys in Maine they can call up, and Ryan Mast, Ethan Ritchie, and Adam Matura. So they could do it from day one. You got to remember, there's no roster limit. There's no salary cap in the playoffs. So as a matter of fact, there's no roster limit right now. As long as they can get everybody under the cap, you could have 30 players on the roster.
Yeah, and there's, like you said, there's plenty of guys. I found the article here. The 10th game he's referring to was after that game he played against Seattle. Let's see. He plays third or fourth line left wing, just happens to be one that's yet to be filled. So his reference is saying that Anthony Richard could make a push for that third line left wing role. I guess, but going into the playoffs, Richard is not the guy. Like, he would have to come up and get a hat trick in his one game for him to even have a push at that spot to start game one. There's no way he would get it right off the rip. Like, right now, if you go into the playoffs, it's either JVR or Lauko, and I think that's going to be dependent on who you're playing.
Yeah.
Like, because JVR still brings value to the penalty, to the power play. Like, it not as much right now because he's on a cold streak, but he's a PP1 guy normally.
Now, let's not forget, okay, you could also move Jake DeBrusk to that third line left wing.
Yeah.
Okay, and that way you can get Brazil and Maroon into the lineup.
Would you move Brazo to that second line?
Not to the second. No.
I was going
to
say.
No, definitely. You move Geeky up, or.
Or would it be Freddie?
Or Freddie. Like, you have options.
Well, that's why I was asking. I was like, well, who?
Because now you have options better than Justin Brazo. And Brazo's the name you throw at me.
Well, that's what you said. Put them both in the lineup. I was like, where's he going with this? I mean, you could throw JVR on that line too as a way to try to get him going.
Yeah, they have options, but Richard is not the answer.
He's not option game one. A, B, C, or D.
Not in the playoffs.
Like,
there'd have to be several injuries before he got in the lineup.
Don't get me wrong. Anthony Richard is on my list of Black Aces, 100%. I think he's good enough for it. I think he's earned it. And to your point, he's not someone who's going to lose out. Like, I would start Lori in Providence so he can get AHL playoff experience.
Didn't he have that last year?
Maybe. If he did, then fine. It doesn't matter if he stays or not. But if he doesn't have much experience, a game or two or whatever, I would let him get a little bit more, because you can still call him up. If you get that far down your defensive depth chart, you can still call him up. I think what's more valuable, watching the NHL playoffs from the ninth floor or playing in the AHL playoffs while you're still young the way he is?
Oh, playing.
there's definitely playing. Goal, but I'd rather him play.
Yeah.
Especially like if he was my seventh guy or even my eighth guy, I would go, okay, fine. But
well, I definitely think he's your seventh or your eighth. He's just not in my top six. I don't care who the opponent is. Because if you have an injury.
Let me put it to you this way. He is the fourth option on the left side.
Is he?
I would think so.
Okay.
At least starting.
Yeah.
Because in game one, again, depending on the opponent, you're likely looking at Grizz. You know the right side is going to be McAvoy, Carlo, Peak. I think Peak has played himself into that right side third line role. I think they like him there. They like what he brings. It's just a matter of how do they partner everybody else on the left side.
Yep.
And I think if you had to choose right now, today, with the way everybody's playing, you're probably going Grizz McAvoy, Lindholm Carlo, and then probably Wotherspoon Peak or Shattenkirk Peak, again, depending on the opponent.
Right. I was... Whenever I saw Lauri and Peak on the ice in the third period last night, I had concerns.
I like the way Lauri plays with Wotherspoon as a third pair.
Yeah.
I like that much better than Lauri Peak. Shattenkirk Peak has been really good.
Yes.
Even though Shattenkirk's on his offside.
Peak has actually been really good no matter who he's been with the exception. Right. I had some concerns last night when he was out there with Lauri.
Peak is, I'm looking at it as a pairing. The Peak with Lauri has more concerns. Wotherspoon with Peak, good pairing. Wotherspoon with Shattenkirk, best option. It's just Wotherspoon and Peak, depending on the matchup, might be the better option matchup-wise.
Okay, but if they're going to ride Lindholm McAvoy together.
I put Lindholm back with Carlo.
Yeah, but it looks like they're trying to get Lindholm and McAvoy together. At least they have for the last couple of games. If that's what they're pushing for and it works and they do it, now what do you do?
Could you look at Carlo Shattenkirk? Because then you could do Peak and Wotherspoon or Peak and Grizzlick. I think if you're going to look to do Hampus Lindholm with Charlie McAvoy, you're trying to go for a more physical shutdown defense versus a offensive productive defense, and that's why I'm pulling Grizz out at that point.
Yeah, you could. I honestly, it looks to me like they're trying to force Lindholm and McAvoy as a pair. You split them up once in a while and have Lindholm with Carlo and have McAvoy with Grizz.
See, the problem is Lindholm is the only one on the left side who can shut down consistently, which is why I hate the narrative that, oh, Lindholm sucks. He's getting some of the hardest minutes, and he's getting more minutes because you can't split up the left side minutes between McAvoy and Carlo. You only have Lindholm. I don't want Grizzlick out there killing penalties. Quite frankly, I don't want Mason Lauri out there doing it either.
Right.
So what? Wotherspoon is your answer? I'm sorry, but I want Wotherspoon out there for maybe 30 seconds of a two-minute kill.
Yeah, so it's a lot of pressure on this. This is why I was hoping. It's too bad they didn't get a left-handed version of Peak for the left side.
But that, and that's why I'm asking. Like, if you want to do Lindholm McAvoy, do you try Shattenkirk and Carlo? Because even though Shattenkirk's on his offside as a veteran, he's better at shutting down, if you will, than Lauri, maybe not better than Waterspoon, but I think consistently he's done it more. So I'd rather have the veteran guy available in the lineup to do that with.
Yeah, but we all know how much they like their defensemen to play their strong side.
Oh,
especially,
yeah.
Especially in the playoffs.
But Shattenkirk Peak has looked really good.
Right. Regular season, Chris.
Yeah.
They did, there isn't a coach alive in the playoffs that wants, unless your name is Bobby Orr, wants their defenseman playing on their weak side.
Is there any chance Derek Forbort gets healthy for the playoffs?
No.
He needs
two surgeries.
I didn't know if he'd had them or what was going on there. I haven't really paid too much attention to him. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't an option.
I'd be surprised if he was.
I mean, they tried to play him earlier in the year anyway, so.
Yeah, but now he needs two surgeries. Or yeah. He's had to. I don't know. Haven't heard.
Something like that. I do recall the two surgery point. So, I don't know what to say about that defense. Like, I really badly want to just say go Lindholm, McAvoy, Lauri Kaarlo, but Lauri isn't ready. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. There's still six games to get through, and hopefully they find something that works.
Here's the advantage.
All I know is I'm not taking Peak, Kaarlo, McAvoy, and Lindholm out of the lineup. Those are my four.
So,
and notice three of them are on the right.
Yeah, no kidding. The advantage that you have with Mason Lauri is you play the Hurricanes twice, the Panthers, the Penguins, and the Capitals. Yes, you finished the year with Ottawa. They're not fighting for a playoff spot. But what is that? 2, 4, 5 of your final six games come against those who are fighting vehemently for a playoff spot or have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So I would let Lauri play every single one of these games. Do you agree or not?
I don't know. There's pros and cons to it. Sure. Like the last thing you want is a guy to get lit up the first night and then his confidence goes downhill and then he sucks for the remaining five games.
So Carolina's tomorrow, and then you've got the afternoon game on Saturday against the Panthers at home. I don't know.
I'll tell you how
I'm in that lineup.
I don't want Grizz in the lineup against Carolina.
No. This is right about the time where Grizz is going to get hurt.
Yeah, I don't want Grizz in the lineup against Carolina. I would like to see Waterspoon in there.
That's where I would try Lindholm, McAvoy, Lauri Kaarlo, Waterspoon, and Peak.
Yeah. But we've seen Waterspoon and Peak together.
Yeah. But that's the lineup that I think, if you were to face Carolina in the playoffs, that's probably the defensive lineup you'd want to use. The question is aside from Lauri, like, can he do it? Like, and if you're not that comfortable with it, are you just literally moving Lindholm down and putting Grizz with McAvoy? Or are you just going to try and slide Grizz in there instead of Lauri? Like, those are other questions. When you get there, when you play Carolina in the playoffs, but I want to see what can Mason Lauri do in a higher pressure situation against a good team like Carolina. And then to your point, what if he doesn't have the best game? Can he bounce back against Florida?
I don't know, man. They've got a lot of experimenting to do in the next six games.
I think the Lauri usage will also be a lot of Monty having the right conversations with him. If you just say, yep, you're going to start in all of them and good luck versus, okay, we're going to have you in the lineup versus Carolina. We want to see how you do it. And then let's see how he has a bad game. Then you have the conversation. Listen, We're not pulling you from the lineup against Florida. We want to see you bounce back. Have a bounce back game. And then what happens from there, if he has that bounce back game, put him back in on Tuesday against Carolina to see if he can run with it. To me, that's how you would want to develop him, because you've got those tough opponents. They're going to be playoff style games.
Yeah, but Chris, there's also practice. We don't see what's going on in practice, how the guys are practicing, what they're doing in practice, whether they have it or not. That tells a whole lot, too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, practice being the kind of the caveat. I'm just saying, based off of the game schedule, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, but you can't. You've got to take everything into consideration. This is why I have difficulty coming up with lineups, is because I don't know the whole story. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know whether the guy has toenail fungus or whether he's got diarrhea. There's so much that we don't know that goes into it. Everybody just thinks it's like put a name down, but there's more to it than that. All I know is that there's four guys for me that are not coming out of the lineup on the blue line: Peak, Carlo, McAvoy, Lindholm. And they've got 6 days to figure out who the other two guys are and what the pairs are.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You got shots on goal, saves, puck lines, money lines. You can bet it all. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
So, real quick, just as a live update here, there was a line brawl to start the Devils-Rangers game. The first fight that was declared in the line brawl was Jimmy Vesey against Curtis Lazar. The all other eight skaters that were on the ice got ejected from the game.
Cool.
So I don't even know who was on the ice for puck drop, but that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, I guess Devils are desperately trying to make the playoffs.
I'm pulling up the box score now to see who got all the penalties here. That update just came out from Elliot Friedman to clarify why eight players were ejected. Let's see. We have four. All right, 2 seconds in, Rempe fighting against McDermott. Gaudreau against Ball. Tierney against Trouba. Marino against Keandre Miller. Lazar against VC. So Rempe, Trouba, Tierney, Miller, Marino, McDermott, they all got misconducts.
So New Jersey won the trade-off there, hands down.
I mean, you got Keandre Miller, Jacob Trouba off the ice for the rest of the game.
For the whole game, basically. If it was 2 seconds in.
Yeah. That's a good trade-off. And Barclay Goodrow.
Yeah. I guess Jersey's figured out how they're going to win the rest of the year to get into the playoffs.
I'm pulling up the standings right now to see. So there's 76 points. They need to catch Washington.
Six so points back with a game in hand, isn't it?
No, Washington has the game in hand.
Ah.
But they are 6 points back. Oh, boy.
Was the game in Jersey or in New York?
New York.
So.
And it's the TNT game.
So, Jersey's got to submit their starting lineup first. Why would the Rangers counter with Trouba and Miller?
I don't know. That would be that'll be an interesting question for post game. I'm trying to pull up the Devils schedule to see what they have left, who their opponents are. They've got the Rangers obviously tonight. Ottawa, Nashville, Toronto twice, Philly, and the Islanders.
So they've got to beat Philly and the Islanders. They got to beat the Rangers. They got to beat Toronto once. And who was the other one?
Nashville and Ottawa.
Well, they lose to Ottawa, they're done.
Oh, yeah. Ottawa's on Saturday. But the funny thing, though, is you say that they need to win all those games, but they also need Washington to lose.
Well, or Philadelphia.
Or Philly. I think Philly is a little reinvigorated. Now, Washington is the team that could lose. They play tomorrow. They play Pittsburgh and Carolina. They get Ottawa on the second night of Ottawa's back-to-backs where they play New Jersey on Saturday and then they play Washington on Sunday. Then they play Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa, Boston, and Philly. I think it's going to come down to that final game for those two.
Yeah.
Because I can very easily see them winning a game they shouldn't, i.e. Tampa or Carolina, and then losing a game they shouldn't, Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, one of those ones, and still being within a point. It's the like I said, every team has a reason to watch them, which is what you're looking for as a league.
Yeah.
Even though teams are clinched, no one's even clinched the President's Trophy. Like,
oh no, that's gonna come down to the last day.
You've got all your top seven teams who have all clinched are all within 5 points of the trophy. And like Edmonton is ninth place. They are 9 points back, but they have Connor fucking McDavid. Like they've got a shot still somehow. I don't think Toronto does. They're 10th, but that's beside the point, even though they have the same number of points. That's the one that I don't care if Boston chases. I'd like them to get the division, though. I do think home ice will help them throughout. And even if they lose the President's Trophy to the Rangers or anybody in the West, I just think they can take the Rangers in a seven-game series if it came down to it, even if New York had home ice. Everybody else, I'd rather have that game seven at home. Carolina, Florida.
Game seven at home hasn't been great to the Bruins.
It's still preference.
Throughout their history.
It's still a preference. It's a coin flip every time, and I get it.
Yeah. Not
always the result you want. But if you have a choice, I'd rather our building be able to get the team going.
Yeah, you ask some coaches, they'd rather be on the road. No family distractions, no distractions and things you got to do at home, and you don't have a wife giving you chores to do and all that kind of stuff. A lot of coaches prefer to start game seven on the road just for that reason.
I understand it. I do.
You know, you're in a hotel, you got a curfew, they're in bed at a certain time, whereas when they're at home, you've got no control over it.
The kid wakes up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So
crying, sick, take him to the doctor, and you miss the morning skate because of it.
Yeah. So a lot of coaches prefer it for that reason.
Which makes sense. I'm not arguing with that. I don't know. It goes both ways. It's all about the team's attitude, the way they're playing, their confidence level. It's about so many other factors. I mean, if they're playing well enough, and I don't know. I'm more worried about the goddamn third line left wing spot than I am,
Chris,
about, how's that?
They're human beings. Life gets in the way, just like it does for you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
You look at when the Bruins finally beat. No, it wasn't that. It was Claude Julien. When they had lost the first two games to Montreal. Was it in Montreal first, the first two games?
Which year? I can pull it off.
I'm trying to remember now. Whereas instead of going home, they went to Lake Placid.
Oh, that was the year they won the cup. That trip was the year they won the cup.
No. It was during the playoff series against Montreal. Then instead of coming home, they went to Lake Placid and spent a couple of days there and then went back to Boston. Because he didn't want the distractions of home getting in the way.
I think that was 2011. I could be wrong. Maybe one of the viewers knows offhand. I could look it up. But right now, I will also give you the update. Tampa Bay is up 1-0 on Toronto.
Cool.
So that game.
Hopefully Tampa can catch Toronto. Tampa?
Tampa Bay is playing Toronto, and they're 1 point up right now in the first period. They are 6 points behind Toronto for the third spot in the division.
Right. And tonight it'll be four.
Yeah.
They're as close to Toronto as Florida is to Boston.
And it just fits Toronto to fall out of that three spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The playoffs are going to be fun. I think what's going to make it worse is a lot of the better games, the more fun ones, are going to be on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's reasons to watch every series that could possibly align as well. I'm looking forward to seeing if we get a goaltending duel of Hellebuck and Saros at some point.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to be following a lot of the NHL playoffs unless it's the Bruins, because I got my other work to do.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily mine isn't as early in the morning.
No, I don't mean that work. I mean my other hockey coverage, like the Ontario Hockey League and stuff. So,
I'll be watching as much of the playoffs as I can. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll have a playoff game on in about an hour when Swift Current tries to eliminate Lethbridge in four straight.
There you go.
And our very own Reed Dick. Ridiculous.
Now, okay. You also had on the agenda for today
I didn't have anything on the agenda.
Yes, you did. Dan Lochmelis is going to be playing for Latvia again.
I don't make agendas. I tweeted that yesterday.
You sent it to me. You said you wanted to talk about it.
No, I didn't. I just sent you the tweet because I know you're at work and I didn't want you to miss it.
Dumb. I have your tweet notifications on.
Oh, well, nobody else does. So well, what's wrong with
one
you?
One, then. There's something wrong with me, I guess.
it's not a given, but I've heard through the grapevine that they have asked him to play for them again. I believe it starts May 10th to the 26th, and I believe it's in Czechia this year.
Now, Lochmelis is the one who plays for UMass?
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of college, NCAA, we talked about him last week. Mr. Jacob Quillen signs with Toronto. Thoughts?
So disappointed. So disappointed. And it's funny because I've been asked a million times now why I preferred him over Colin Graf. And because I watch more than one tournament. It comes from a few years of watching them. And I just think that Jacob Quinlan is a prototypical Bruin. And I also said that, and you and I discussed this last week when you asked me, or somebody had asked, why I prefer Quinlan over Graf. And I said that the Bruins already have a better Colin Graf in their system. And you immediately came out with Matthew Patra. Which is right. I don't know why anybody asked me, who's this better Colin Graf? Like, is it not obvious?
Right.
Right?
I will also say this, too. I'm gonna credit this. I think it was Colby Cohen of the two of them. Colby and Johnny Lazarus do a morning cup of hockey on Daily Faceoff. And Colby is the one, if I'm not mistaken. I apologize to the two of them if I've messed up the point. Or whose point it was. But if you look at Toronto's lineup, Jacob Quillen can slot into the 3C role much sooner than he would in Boston.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at a potential position to be successful, you would be third in line behind Austin Matthews and, like, you know, John Tavares. At center, assuming Tavares stays in the center role. If not, then you're looking at, you know, like it's not a bad position to be in, to be the third line center on a team that has Matthews, Marner, Nylander, you know, like even that.
Well, when Tavares is gone, he's a second line center.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is Tavares has another year on his deal, and who knows? You know, maybe in 3 years or in 2 years at this point, if Tavares re-signs at a much lower value, maybe he's playing third line right wing. Okay, so now you're Jacob Quillen and you have John Tavares on your right side. That is an opportunity to be successful.
Yep.
Like, there's no way I'm complaining about that. And I'm sorry, as long as this team has Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander, and
Mitch Marner.
Thank you. That's the other one I was thinking of. And I, you know, was blanking on the name because he's on LTIR right now. They're going to be in the playoff hunt. If you look at Boston's lineup right now, for the next 3 years, he's behind Coyle, Zaka, Poitra. Like, at best, he's playing on the wing on the third line. At best. I don't blame him for picking a spot like Toronto for wanting to be able to play in the NHL. The question is can his game translate? Can he find NHL success? But that's the question for all 32 teams if he goes to them. So,
and Quinlan's game translates to the wing better than Graf's does too.
Right. So now you are also putting yourself in a position where maybe John Tavares is the third line center and you're his wing. Oh no.
Right.
Like, it's a successful lineup to be a part of. as you're trying to prove yourself, as long as you can find consistency in your game, they have talented players. Like I said, even Matthew Nyes is looking good in Toronto right now as a 21-year-old. So, you know, and then Nick Robertson, some of the other youngsters that they have, you get to join those guys.
Yeah. It's not like Matthews and Nylander and Marner are old guys either.
No. Tavares is the old one at 33.
Yeah.
And I know they also talked about it in terms of like, well, why not a team like San Jose where he could go and play right away? Those teams have a shit ton of prospects. So not only do you have to fight for the chance to get ice time, you have to fight not just for the ice time at the NHL level, but you have to fight to get the chance to get that fight. You're making it work twice as hard.
And you're going to a losing situation. I mean, he's in a perfect situation where they're in win now and win, and they've got a window for a few years.
Right. So feasibly, he could, signing this year, I'm guessing his ELC kicks in next year.
Right.
So from 24-25, you have an extension in place for Matthews, an extension in place for Nylander. You have Marner, who's going to need a new deal after your first season with him. Kalle Järnkrok still has another season after that as well. He's no slouch either. Like, you have a decent building block on defense in Morgan Riley lined up for quite some time. Kampf and Reeves are going to be on the fourth line for quite some time. Like, not that Reeves is all that exciting, but
yeah.
Point being, though, is you have an organization around you.
Yeah.
You just have to not fuck it up.
Exactly. And, you know, when these guys sign, there's no given that they're going to, turn into NHL hockey players. They could be career American Hockey Leaguers. That's why they weren't drafted in the first place.
Right. You can get drafted and still go play in NCAA. So
right.
That's why they're undrafted college free agents. So
yeah.
Now, with that thought process in mind, that's why you're going to see someone probably sign with Tampa that you're going to look at and go, why would they do that? Well, because Tampa's bottom six is wide open all the time.
Yeah. Constantly. So, like, I think with Nelson and Barbero and Bishop only signed an American Hockey League contract. So, but I'm sure he'll earn an NHL contract at some point. The Bruins did well here. Nelson, I'm telling you, he was on my wish list a year ago. But it was all based on potential because I thought he had some real serious, I shouldn't say serious. He had a lot of skating questions, but it's obvious watching him this year that he's put in the work. Either he didn't get offers last year or he wanted to return back to school. But he was on my wish list a year ago. So they got him. I'm happy about that. Barbero, depending on who you talk to, I know that Redline Report had him in the top five NCAA free agent players this year, and McKean's had him in the top four. So he's a good find. Good kid. So we'll see. That's no sign that they're going to make it, but...
Well, when you look at their NCAA class overall right now, who they have in the system in the NCAA, you're talking Jelvik, he looks good. Nelson, who we were just talking about. Andre Gasson at BC, who looks pretty solid, you know. Ryan Walsh, Quinn Olson, Drew Bavaro, who you were just talking about, Riley Duran, Dans Lochmelis, Jake Schmaltz, Cole Spicer, Mason Langenbrunner, Ty Gallagher, and then, of course, Philip Svedback.
Yeah, and Casper Nathan coming next year from Sweden to go to Miami, Ohio.
Oh, yep. Yep. I'm on Elite Prospects right now, and I just started the league, so that's why they didn't get flagged. But yeah, if he's planning on coming over as well, let's see, who else? I mean, we've talked about the guys in Providence quite a bit already. Then you got Jackson Edwards in the OHL. Any recent suspensions for him that we need to go over?
No, but I tell you, man, he's just so much fun to watch in the playoffs. There was one sequence last night where I can't remember the Flint player. All he did is put a shot on net. And that just pissed Edwards right off, man. Like, I bet you from the front of the net to the London blue line, because the play was transitioning the other way, he must have shoved him 5 or 6 times. It's like, you're not shooting on my goalie, man. It's like, it's as long as he can keep his temper under control and not do some of the idiotic stuff that he's done.
Slew footing and throwing stuff at
right. I tell you, this guy is going to be a fan favorite after his first shift.
Well, and here's the thing. He's 20 years old. Like,
yeah,
you know, I get it. You want to have him get out of, you know, you don't want him to be in prison before he gets up to the NHL level.
Right.
The referee prison, but
that's why I like that he's going to be in Providence next year, and Adam McQuaid can spend a lot of time with him, because I'm telling you, man, I every time I watch him, I fall in love with some of the stuff he does, and then he does something stupid. I'm going like, come on, man, like, you know where the line is, don't cross it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big Swede, Christian Kostadinsky, and you saw him at the Bellarmine camp last year.
Yes.
You've told the story a number of times about Adam McQuaid teaching him how to stop on his skates.
Yes.
He's really come a long way. His skating is markedly improved.
I'm rooting for him so hard.
Yeah. But he's as nasty as Edward is. Like, man, I would not want to piss this guy off. So, I forget the team now. In the Swedish Hockey League, they were short a defenseman, right? And they owned Kostadinsky's rights. So they brought him up for a game. He couldn't play because he didn't have a contract, right? So, like, they dressed him, sat him on the bench because they dressed 7 defensemen. And they had a contract ready in case they had to throw him on the ice. All he had to do was sign it, and he could go.
And go.
And it was hilarious, like, watching that game. So
that's funny.
I love it. Reed Dick. Told you Swift Current has a chance to sweep tonight, and this guy has just been lights out in the playoffs. He's been lights out all season, but in the playoffs, he's just brought it to another level. So yeah, there are prospects to be excited about.
To your about Reed Dick. During the regular season, his save percentage was .911, and his goals against was .270. In the playoffs, he's lowered that to .211, and his save percentage is .954.
What is it?
938 over three games, according to Elite Prospects.
Okay.
0.938. I'm sorry, but that's damn good.
Yeah. And it's, unless you watch it and see some of the saves he's makes, some poor guy on Twitter or X came up with the hashtag Reed, his name, Dickulous. His last name is Dick. And nice. The WHL caught on to it. And every time, like once a week, you can find him on the Save of the Week package. And they use the hashtag Ridiculous.
I mean, he's playing that well.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually had a fan take a picture of him and send it to me. He was at the game last night and said, this guy is good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Been telling you.
Right?
Been telling you.
We are approaching the 8 o'clock hour. Toronto has tied it at one, unfortunately.
Let me guess, Matthews.
I didn't see who. I just turned over and they were one one, and they were coming back from commercial. So I did not catch who it was. I can check though. But as we look to wrap up here, because it's almost 8 o'clock, what do you have for? Let's see. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm trying to pull up the schedule between now and next week when we are on the air. We have two games against Carolina and a game against Florida. What are you looking for in those games? What are your thoughts as we roll into the last set of games for the regular season?
Honestly, Chris, I'm looking for building on what they've done the last two games in getting themselves prepared. That's number one. Number two, I want to see Swayman gets the next start, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So it'll be Swayman will have Carolina and Florida. Right, Allmark will get the middle game against Carolina.
No, I want to Carolina on Thursday, Florida Saturday, Carolina on Tuesday. So right now, Wayman is supposed to get both games against Carolina.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Let Linus have Florida. So I want to see some sign of Swayman getting out of his funk. I want to see a reawakening of Jake DeBrusk. And out of all that, I've got so many questions, as we talked about earlier, about the defense. I don't want to see them moving guys in and out. I want them to see them stick to some pairs, at least for these next three games, against two of the best opponents they could possibly ask for out of the Eastern Conference, and see what we get out of those pairs over these next three games.
I was going to say, I think the first two, you're going to see the pairings that they want to use the most. I think that's where you're going to see.
Don't you think you should see that over the next three games? Because
so
they're both heavy teams.
I think what you'll see between those first two is some juggling between the two. And that is the Peak, Shattenkirk, Wotherspoon, Grizzlick, Lauri group of five cycling through. I think you will see in one game McAvoy, Lindholm, Grizzlick, Carlo, Peak, and Wotherspoon. And then I think you will see in another one Grizzlick, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo, Shattenkirk, and Peak.
So you're with me. You're not taking Peak out of the lineup.
No. Okay. No, I think what he has allowed you to do is take some of the PK minutes away from
McAvoy, right,
with Carlo. And that's why I think you're going to see Wotherspoon and Shattenkirk flip with peak just between those two games. And then whichever one looks better, I think you will see in the second game against Carolina.
Anything you're looking for up front? I'm keeping my a very close eye on JVR, along with DeBrusque.
I'm looking at Trent Frederick in the sense of, is his motor going for these games? I don't need him to drop the gloves. I just need him to be physical and make sure they know he's there. I need him to throw his body around, get in on the forecheck, be physical, and be a presence in everybody's ear. You know, he needs to be aggravating.
Do you think they learned an example in the last game against Florida that when they push back,
yes,
Florida calms down?
Yes, and that's why I want to see Freddie in these games. How is he playing? Is he playing with that I'm going to hit you back mentality? Or is he deferring, looking to say Marchand or Coyle to try to get the team going? Like, where's he at there? I know I mentioned it earlier. You know, Jake DeBrusque for me is a dark horse option, yeah, for that Conn Smythe in the playoffs, because he has that ability to turn it on and out of nowhere just go on a hot streak. So I do want to see where is he hesitant over these next six games? Where, like, is he able? Are you able to tell that he's got those thoughts in his head bothering him? That's what I want to see.
Right.
Is his mind
back to Trent Frederick for a minute?
Yep.
Put on your Don Cherry cap. Good old grapes. Love grapes. I don't think Jim Montgomery is the type of coach to do this, but we know Don Cherry is. So that's why I said put on your Don Cherry hat. Do you tell Trent Frederick to go after Matthew Tkachuk first? Or do you get him to go after Sam Bennett for the Lindholm incident?
I tell him, go bother the fuck out of Matt Tkachuk.
Yeah?
Because if something ends up happening and they get into a fight, I lose Trent Frederick for 5 minutes, they lose Matt Tkachuk for 5 minutes. I will take that. Matt, I will take the heart and soul of that team off the ice for 5 minutes and sacrifice my Trent Frederick for that five, because without Matt Tkachuk, they aren't as fluid on the ice.
Okay, I can agree with that.
And if I tell him, go pester the fuck out of him, bother him, make him hit you first. Well, maybe I can also can get him, if Freddie does it right, maybe Tkachuk can also get an instigator and get tossed.
Right.
And I'm very much okay with that.
And remind me again, because I saw it earlier this morning, I don't remember. Montgomery mentioned what game Maroon could be probable for.
I don't remember. I didn't see it myself. I've been working all day and I didn't get a chance to see his presser or any okay. Montgomery quotes, but I do want to see Maroon in the lineup over these next six games to see how he is. Maroon, see, how do you feel about Geeky Frederick Maroon together?
Who's playing the middle?
Honestly, I'd probably go Freddie with that. It would either be Freddie or Geeky. I feel like Geeky's a better centerman, but with Geeky on the right, Maroon on the left, Freddie down the middle. I feel like that's still pretty solid.
I'd have to see them just once together. I honestly would. I don't think it would work, but stranger things have happened, right?
Would you rather? No, because that moves him off your...
I'll tell you what I would rather see than that is Freddie on the left, Geeky on the right. Or sorry, Freddie on the left, Geeky yeah. in the middle, and Brazil on the right. And then put
Boquist, Maroon.
Put Maroon with Beecher and Boquist. Because I would
very much be okay with that.
I think Brazil is a better skater than Maroon at this point. So Maroon would need a Boquist Beecher type more than Brazil would. That's just a gut feeling. I'd have to see it.
I will say this too. Right now, if I had to pick my,
you know that takes JBR out of the lineup, right?
I know.
And it takes Lauko out of the lineup.
Keeps Lauko out of the lineup too. That's why I'm looking at it and I'm going. If I had to decide right now, with the unknowns of Pat Maroon, I'm assuming Brazo is healthy. I think your third line left wing would have to start off being Jacob Lauko because at least he has some pop to his game.
Yeah.
That's not just scoring. He will bring some energy. You may end up at a point where you put him with some of those other fourth line guys and do like a Lauko Beecher Brazo line for a little bit just to give some guys a breather and whatever. But like, Lauko gives you that option. James Van Riemsdyk would want to be elevated in the lineup versus, you know, downgraded in the lineup. And I just don't see the same pep in his game right now.
Yeah.
And that's why I would lean Lauko. That being said, obviously right now we don't have Brazo. He is out. So assuming where we're at right now, I'd put JVR on the third line and Lauko on the fourth line right wing spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to for tomorrow night's game, right?
That's what I would do for tomorrow, for sure. Well, that also gives me a look at the lineup without Maroon, without Brazo, against a physical opponent. Like, that lineup with Brazo and Maroon out is very feasible for the playoffs.
It is. To me, the question, again, it comes back to the blue light.
These
next three games,
like if
are against teams that play playoff hockey,
I never thought I'd be saying this 3 months ago, but Justin Brazeau is not healthy. Keep him out of the lineup. Let him get healthy. He's proven he can play at this level on the fourth line. He's proven that he has the ability to elevate to the third line. Just get him the fuck healthy. And then put him in your playoff lineup. You don't need him for the regular season at this point.
No. I mean, if you were fighting for the last playoff spot, yeah. But
you're not.
At this point, anybody who is nicked up, has any kind of ailment, they should not be playing.
Yeah.
You've got two extra defensemen. You've got two extra defensemen. You've got two extra forwards. Utilize them. Don't be playing guys that are hurt. Back to your thing of what are we looking for over these next three games. Please, Brad Marchand, get that 400th goal. Get it out of the way, and let's get back to scoring regularly.
He'll get it Saturday at home against the Panthers.
Okay. So that's if awesome. I throw $1,000 on it, yeah, and lose, you're covering me.
I wouldn't go that high. But I'll put it this way. Depending on what those apps let me do and when, I would put the money on it right now a little bit. You know, we're talking, as they say over at SDPN, the $2 Steve.
Okay. $2, Steve.
I'm not betting the mortgage on it, but I feel like right now, if you were to look at Thursday's game versus Saturday's game, I feel like your better odds would be on Saturday. And I think by Saturday, end of game, he will have that goal.
And then the floodgates open.
And then the Brad Marchand floodgates open. Hopefully, you know, Jake DeBrusk can get on the board. A part that worries me is they could play good on Thursday and on Saturday and even good on Tuesday, and then they get a 3-day layoff before Pittsburgh.
That's okay. Oh, that's it. That's when Maroon could be back.
The Pittsburgh game?
The Pittsburgh game. Yes. Just
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Three games in the regular season. I don't grizzled vet like that. Three-time cup winner. He doesn't need more than three games.
Montgomery said he doesn't need any.
You don't think so? Or he doesn't think that, so?
He doesn't think so.
I want him in those three games to see how he works in the lineup.
Yeah.
That's why I want him to have three games. Not necessarily entirely for himself. Three games for himself, fine. Maybe one is necessary. He's never played with these guys before. I want to see him get time. You know, you figure that's 30 minutes of ice time, game time, 10 minutes a night for him. That'll be fine.
Yeah. So,
but any last thoughts before we wrap up? Because we have just recently crossed the 8 o'clock hour. I have not eaten. I'm sure you have not eaten.
No.
I'm hungry.
I'm going to say is, the Bruins will take two of the next three games. Don't ask me which two, but they'll take two of the next three.
I can see that.
I'll make it even clearer. They'll split with Carolina, and they'll beat Florida.
Over these last six, I think they will go 3-2-1.
Were their last three games? Pittsburgh, Ottawa. Games.
Pittsburgh, Ottawa, and then between them they have Washington.
Oh, they win the last three. They're going to go 2-3 and then with 3-0.
You think so?
So that's...
I don't know. I can see them dropping because they have road Carolina, road Pittsburgh, road Washington. I can see them dropping a road game.
5-1.
5-1. All right.
Yeah. Pittsburgh will be officially eliminated.
How about 4-1-1?
5-1-0.
5-1-0. I'm saying 4-1-1.
Okay.
All right.
Write that down.
Oh, God.
Because I'll forget in 5 minutes.
I'll forget in 30 seconds. This is why I watch the games.
All I got to say now is go Bees.
All right. Real quick. You said, I'm writing it down right now on air. You said 5-1.
Yeah.
5-1-0. And I'm going to say 4-1-1.
Is that a shootout or overtime?
Extra time. Doesn't matter which.
No. You got to pick one. I was clear on my picks.
Loss in overtime. I think they're done with shootouts on the year.
Okay.
If
See, I've told everybody who they will lose to. You haven't.
Let's see. They will split with Carolina. I agree with you on that. That is a regulation loss in there. I do see them beating Florida and obviously Carolina the other time. Whether it's in regulation or not doesn't really matter because that would still fall under the win category. The overtime loss I see happening to Washington.
Okay.
Because Washington is still going to be fighting tooth and nail for their playoff spot.
Like they did last night.
Exactly.
Against Montreal, who has 40 points less than the Bruins.
Hey. They are going to try to fight. I didn't say it was going to be a high-scoring game.
Okay.
All right. And then Ottawa, I think they will beat. I can see Boston losing to Pittsburgh because it just is a thing that they do, but I don't think they will.
So, do you realize there are people listening that are going to put thousands of their hard-earned dollars on what you're telling them?
I certainly the fuck hope not. And if do, I hope they win.
Let's call it a night.
But then again, I hope someone won a bet. Things, I don't know. We don't talk about that on air.
No.
So with that, go Bees.
Go Bees.